You are now tuned in to the Eagle Sports Zone.
Very good evening to all the Eagle FM listeners. You are now tuned in to the Eagle Sports Zone. I'm your host, Handy. I'll be with you until 8 p.m. this evening. We're coming to you live from our studio in Windhoek. And today on the Eagle Sports Zone, we are going to be talking about the African Continental Free Trade Area and how sport can be part of that discussion. Can sport be part of that discussion? We will talk about that this evening and see how this new and revolutionary, really, initiative can be part of our sports discussion as well. But as usual, the Eagle Sports Zone is Eagle FM's in-house sporting program where we discuss all things sports. We cover everything from local to international sports. We like to dive deep behind the curtain. We like to discuss things that the average person might not think of when it comes to sports. We like to go behind the scenes. We like to go and look at and discuss and dissect the things behind the scenes that make what we see on the field or on the court happen. So that goes from everything from your sports infrastructure, sports development, sports marketing, sports psychology, all those things we discuss here on the Eagle Sports Zone. And of course, if you'd like to chime in to the Eagle Sports Zone, whether that's with a question regarding anything, whether you have an opinion about something that we're discussing, something you'd like to find out, some of you like to call in to ask about the scores of certain things, you are welcome to call in at 083-288-401. That's 083-288-401. And we'll be introducing a brand new segment in a few moments. After I run through our local sports news, we'll be introducing a brand new segment, so stay tuned for that. A new segment that I'm very excited about to keep running here on the Eagle Sports Zone. And as usual, stay tuned to our social media pages for on-the-minute sporting updates. That's local and international sporting news. So follow us on Facebook, follow us on Instagram, follow us on X. That is Eagle FM Namibia. And of course, download our wonderful, wonderful application that's free to download. That's the Eagle FM mobile application, available to you now on the Google Play Store or on the Apple App Store. And the Eagle FM app is a great, great, great app. For one, if you happen to have missed last week's episode of the Eagle Sports Zone, simply go to the podcast section in that application, type in Eagle Sports Zone, and you will have access to all of our previous shows, whether that was last week, whether it was last month, dating back to last year. We're approaching our year of the Eagle Sports Zone. So there's dozens and dozens of shows, past editions of the Eagle Sports Zone available for you in the Eagle FM mobile application. And if you'd like to call into the studio while you're listening via the application, you don't even have to dial the number. There is a call button for you in the top right corner of the application. And of course, there's a wonderful digital rotating display for you to interact with. This display has all kinds of information available to you, whether that's from housing census, whether that's all the African constitutions, all kinds of economic reports from various world organizations. So download the Eagle FM app, not only to listen to your favorite talk radio station, but to become an informed citizen of the world. And the Eagle FM mobile application, doesn't matter where you are in the world, you can tune in to Eagle FM. As long as you're connected to the internet, you will be able to listen to your favorite talk radio station. And I know we have some listeners. We have listeners all over the world, whether that's South Africa, whether that's Brazil, whether that's Russia, whether that's the USA. We even have listeners in Australia, all over the world. So if you're outside Namibia and you still like to follow your number one talk radio station, simply download the Eagle FM mobile application. Alternatively, you can also go to the Eagle FM website to stay tuned to your favorite talk radio station. That's www.eaglefm.com.na. Same thing there with the podcast. If you're looking for a podcast of your favorite show, previous broadcast of your favorite show, it is there for you in full. You can listen to any show that it is you're looking for. Not just the Eagle Sports Zone, that's any show on the Eagle FM roster, whether that's Unpacking the Day, whether that's Mind the Gap, whether that's the business and economic segment. So it's all available for you there. Now, before we get into our topic of the day, which is about, as I said, the AF, African Free, excuse me, that is the African Continental Free Trade Area. Before we get into that conversation, we will run through some local sports news. There was quite a lot that happened in the Namibian sporting world over the past few days, so let's get right into that. We have, we'll start with the Namibian Premier League. The Namibian Premier League is back. For all our local football lovers, the Namibian Premier League is back. Round one has commenced. Started on Friday. That was with FC Ongos and UNAM playing to a 1-1 draw. We had the Northern Derby, the famous, or the now famous Derby, Northern Derby. That is Chula Chula against KK Palace. KK Palace taking that one 2-1. Young African played against Tigers. They beat Tigers 3-0. And 11 Arrows beat Blue Waters 2-1. Today's fixtures are Okahandja United against Bucks Buccaneers. Defending champions African Stars are playing against Comas Nampol. Mighty Gunners are facing off against the Life Fighters. And a fixture that was supposed to take place, Julinho and the Rundu Chiefs, has been postponed until further notice. And just consult my sources regarding the latest scores in the local fixtures. So far, what I can tell you is that, oh, it is actually full time. So African Stars beat Nampol, Comas Nampol, excuse me. African Stars started their title defense with a victory, beating Comas Nampol 1-0. Okahandja United and Bucks Buccaneers play to a 1-1 draw. And then the Mighty Gunners and the Life Fighters currently at 2-0. No, that ended 2-0, excuse me. Mighty Gunners won that one 2-0. And in other Namibian footballing news, we had a under 17 boys team touring Germany these past few days, and their results are as follows. So they beat a team in Germany called Sus Kaiserau. They beat them 2-1. They lost 5-1 to Westfalen. And then they also played against Hombruchers Sportverein, losing that one 3-2, and then as well playing against TSN Jugend. Maybe I lost that one 4-2, but nonetheless a good experience, I'm sure, for our youngsters touring Germany, getting to play in a fantastic footballing country such as Germany and getting to experience and perhaps test their levels against what German opposition in their age group feels like, which is a priceless experience for, you know, players that are 15, 14, 16, 16 years of age. Then in other footballing news, we had our Brave Gladiators, that is Namibia's women's national football team. They have been playing against Zambia in a Women's African Cup of Nations qualifier, a two-leg qualifier. The first one, Zambia won 4-2, and then this afternoon, Zambia beat Namibia's women's football team 3-0 in the second leg. So the journey to the Women's African Cup of Nations taking place in Morocco next year for our brave gladiators has unfortunately come to an end, and the Copper Queens, as they are known, advance to the tournament. And there was also some rugby that took place over the weekend. That was the Ongo Sevens Rugby Championship. If those of you that follow rugby, this has been a competition that's been going on for a few months now. They've played in several places across the country, including in the south and the coast. And it came to a culmination this weekend. That was yesterday. With Wits Barbas, I believe is how that is pronounced. They beat Wanderers in the final 14-12 to claim the inaugural Ongo Sevens.
Great news! Impa just got even better. We have added just to make your experience smoother, faster, and more powerful than ever before. Ready to unlock the full potential of Imba? Get all exclusive features for just 36 Namibian dollars a month, or save even more with our special subscription plans. 5% discount for 3 months subscription, 10% discount for 6 months subscription, and 25% discount for 12 months subscription. Choose the plan that works best for you and start enjoying everything Imba has to offer at an unbeatable price. Imba, where the world congregates. Download it and subscribe today.
Titanium, the perfect fit between platinum and silver, complementing our existing benefit options. We always offer a comprehensive healthcare experience. NHP, the premier member-centric medical aid fund. Visit NHP today at nhp.com.na. NHP, we're about you.
Welcome back to the Eagle Sports Zone. As I was saying before the commercial break, that was the inaugural Ongos Sevens Rugby Championship, which was won by Wits Barbas 14-12 against Wanderers. And in other local sporting news, Namibia's very own Philippus Shangandi, who is an Eagle Sports Zone alumni. If you guys remember, we had him on to talk about his journey, about his struggles in getting to Brazil for the powerlifting world championships. And he, after many struggles, he managed to get a sponsor, partly in thanks to our Deputy Minister of Sport, that is Dino Balotti, who facilitated the sponsorship of Philip going over to Brazil to compete in the powerlifting world championships. Again, if you'd like to listen to that conversation, like I said earlier, go to the podcast section, either on the Eagle FM website or the Eagle FM mobile application, and you can listen to that conversation in full. We had Philip on. He told us about his journey, about his struggles. And now, he finally got what he was looking for, and that was to compete in the powerlifting world championships. And Philip did the nation proud by finishing third in the under 75 kilogram open category. That was yesterday. He's competing in one more discipline today. So hopefully he'll be able to get onto the podium again and continue to represent as well in the powerlifting world. And we might even get the news of how we performed in that competition shortly, but we'll stay up to date on that. If anything comes in, I of course will update you. And today I almost forgot the trivia question of the day, in line with our topic of today. Our trivia question of today is, it's kind of an open question, actually. But the question is, can you name 3 club football teams that are outside of SADC? So don't call in to tell me about Kaizer Chiefs and Mamelodi Sundowns and any Angolan teams and things, and Jwaneng Galaxy and those guys. I need to hear about teams outside of Southern Africa. I will repeat the question. Name 3 club football teams outside of Southern Africa. Can be any teams. It's quite an easy question, actually. Last week's question stumped you guys, it seemed. But today, it's a very simple question. Name 3 club football teams outside of Southern Africa. You can call in with your answer. That's 0832888401. And also, the Eagle Sports Zone, we now have a WhatsApp group. So if you'd like to join the Eagle Sports Zone WhatsApp group, send a WhatsApp message to 081-200-4144. Send a WhatsApp message. Very important that it's on WhatsApp. To 081-200-4144, and just say that you want to join the Eagle Sports Zone group, WhatsApp group, and you will receive the link to join the group. And that's also where, if you're shy to call in, you can submit your questions there and I'll answer them for you live on air. So moving on to some foreign sports news. El Clasico is going on right now. It is now halftime. That is Real Madrid against FC Barcelona. It is halftime and Real Madrid are leading that 2-1. Kylian Mbappe opening the scoring for Real Madrid before Fermin Lopez equalized. And with 2 minutes left in the half, England's very own Jude Bellingham struck to give Real Madrid the lead there. So as things change in that fixture, I will keep you up to date. In the Premier League, we had Arsenal beating Crystal Palace 1-0. New signing Eberiche Eze scoring the goal late in the first half to give the Gunners all 3 points. In other English Premier League results, we had Aston Villa beating Manchester City 1-0. Quite shocked to see that, to be honest. Matty Cash with the goal for the Villains. And then we had Liverpool. It was a tough weekend for the big teams in the English Premier League. Liverpool lost 3-2 to Brentford. And then we had Manchester United beating Brighton 4-2. That is now 3 wins on the bounce for the Red Devils. First time that happened under Ruben Amorim. And Chelsea, like I said, tough weekend for the big teams in the English Premier League. Chelsea losing to newly promoted side Sunderland, losing 2-1. And it was actually African that scored the winning goal in that one. It was a youngster, Chemsdine Talbi from Morocco, scored the winner in the 93rd minute. So a tough weekend for the bigger teams in the English Premier League, and I'm sure a tough weekend for those of you that like to partake in sports gambling. I'm sure there's no way that people won money this weekend, at least significantly. But I digress. The table now in the English Premier League. Still have Arsenal at the top of the table with 22 points. In second place is Bournemouth on 18 points. In third place is Sunderland, newly promoted Sunderland, on 17 points. And in fourth place is Manchester City, level on points with fifth place cross-town rivals Manchester United on 16 points. Defending champions Liverpool are in sixth on 15 points. And Chelsea sit in mid-table territory, that is in ninth on 14 points. So yes, tough weekend for the big teams in the English Premier League. But now, I'd like us to move on to our brand new segment that we're introducing here on the Eagle Sports Zone, a segment that I very much excited for.
Across Africa, sports unites us. From Lagos to Lusaka, from Cairo to Cape Town, we are one. This is the Pan-African Sports segment, live on Eagle FM.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Yes, you are now tuned into our brand new segment that is the Pan-African segment. Very excited for this new segment. On the Pan-African segment, we are going to travel across Africa, like the promo said, from Lagos to Lusaka, from Cairo to Cape Town. We're going to be discussing all kinds of sports news across the African country. If you've been listening for a while, you know that I'm a reformed Pan-Africanist now, and I very much enjoy what is happening in our continent when it comes to sports. So we will have a whole segment dedicated to this now, and we will start with our neighbors in Botswana, where Betway, the betting company, donated 4.3 million pula. Which I learned through the story, I learned that their currency is actually stronger than ours, because that converts to 5.2 million Namibian dollars. But Betway donated that to develop a football pitch and athletics track, which I found to be quite a remarkable story. You know, there's a few of you have actually called in to the Eagle Sports Zone to, you know, when it comes to talk about how the private sector should do more to support to support local sports and our neighbors on the east. In Botswana, Betway has decided to do just that by donating quite a large sum of money. You know, that's half of the money that our Namibian Premier League received to play the opening round of the first leg of fixtures, of Namibian Premier League football. So, you know, maybe one day we'll see a story like that in Namibia, where the several betting companies that we have now in Namibia contribute in this manner to Namibian sports. And then to our neighbors in the south, our famous neighbors that is in South Africa, there's two stories I want to bring to your attention there. We'll start both coming from Limpopo, but we'll start with the Chivunyi, sports facility that is in Limpopo. So what happened there is that the Mankato municipality in Limpopo had to cancel a 21 million rand contract for the stadium after the contractor abandoned the project. The contractor, who goes by the name of Kumbameni Risk and Event Management, has had to pay over 200,000 rand in penalties for delays in the project. The construction for this began in January 2023, but in January of this year, 2025, the contractor, who had already been paid over 10 million rand, abandoned the site. And so the municipality has since then terminated the contract, and a new tender has now been advertised. And then, also in Limpopo, a company by the name of Bochabela Consulting Engineers were contracted by the municipality in March 2015, so 10 years ago, to build the Giyani Sports Center in Limpopo. They were contracted to do this 10 years ago at an initial cost of 25.2 million rand. The contract included construction and development, with payments made against certified work. So, you know, since then, at least 9 payment certificates were honored, but in April 2019, Bochabela issued a 10th interim certificate for 3.5 million rand and a final invoice for 2.9 million rand. The municipality refused to pay, triggering a legal battle, and now you have a white elephant in this community that's been there for 10 years with tens and millions of rand in taxpayer money in incomplete projects. And the reason that I wanted to bring this up is, one for one, a lot when we talk about South Africa, you know, we rightfully so, we look to them as a leader in the sports industry, but it also goes to show that even them, they go through some of these things that we often go through, or that we are going through now when it comes to sports facilities. So you have two facilities in one area in South Africa not being built, despite tens and tens of millions of rands being spent. And another reason I wanted to bring this up is because of what is proposed to happen in our beautiful country of Namibia when it comes to sports facility constructions. I mean, some of that sounds similar to what has been happening with the Independence Stadium. Sam Nyoma Stadium, we heard about last week, or was that 2 weeks ago now, about the progress they are making in terms of renovating that facility. But hopefully it doesn't turn into a story such as this. And with all the facilities that are being proposed and discussed to be constructed in Namibia, I truly hope that stories like this don't come out about those facilities. As we as a reminder, it's proposed that 121 sporting facilities will be built, one in each constituency in the country. Right? So, that's 121 such instances where such instances could occur. Hopefully not. I'm being optimistic that all 121 will be built, and as well as the category 3 stadiums, the 5 across the country will be built, and that we don't have such situations. And then that is why, again, go to the podcast section, go to our conversation we had with the Minister of Sport, that is Sanet Steenkamp, on the Eagle Sports Zone, to hear about, I asked her this exact question actually, to hear about what are their plans to combat some of these things from happening. So go to the podcast section if you'd like to hear that conversation in detail. But yes, even the countries that have, for all intents and purposes, figured out the sports industry, these things are still happening, even in countries such as that. So now, moving from South Africa, we're going east to Rwanda, where they said that Kigali made $30 million in revenue from sports in the last 3 years. So that's primarily from all the international sporting competitions that they've been hosting, but $30 million in revenue, quite remarkable. And it fits. It makes sense that they've made that much money, considering the strategy that they've put in place when it comes to generating revenue from sports. They've completely, or not completely, but for the most part, totally, I don't want to say abandoned, but abandoned local sports and said, we're going to focus on bringing the international sporting world here, and we'll make our money that way. So moving from Kigali, we're going north to Morocco. Morocco won the Under-20 World Cup, beating Nigeria 2-0. They're the first African country to win the Under-20 World Cup since Ghana in 2019. Obviously the first time that Morocco has won that tournament as well. So Morocco doing well, not only with their senior men's team, but in their developmental sides doing well as well. And hopefully at the World Cup next year in North America, they'll be able to do even better than they did in the previous World Cup, which was a semi-final appearance for the Moroccan national team. First African team to reach the semi-final. So hopefully in 2026, Morocco or any other African country, maybe Cape Verde, will shock the world and we'll see an African country in the final of the FIFA World Cup. Then moving back down to the south, to our southern neighbors, the South African hockey women's team won their 8th consecutive Africa Cup to qualify for the Hockey World Cup. South Africa, as we know, are a hockey powerhouse, both in the men's and women's sides. So they have qualified for yet another Hockey World Cup, winning their 8th consecutive African championship. Quite remarkable. Quite remarkable. And then, more of a continental piece. A record number of Africans are now participating in the NBA, that is the National Basketball Association, that is the basketball league in America, the best basketball league in the world, undoubtedly. The record is 55. Out of the 135 international players, so non-Americans competing in the National Basketball Association, 55 are from the continent, the African continent, or they are first generation members of the diaspora. And Nigeria has the most with 8, followed by Cameroon with 7. DRC has 6. Mali and Senegal both have 5. Guinea has 2, South Sudan has 2, Benin has 2, and Cote d'Ivoire has 2 as well. So we have a lot of African talent playing in the best basketball league in the world. And this will actually be in line with what we are going to be talking about today. But we have one more piece for today's Pan-African segment. And that is coming from right here, the land of the brave in Namibia. So we're ending our first Pan-African segment. We're ending it with a story from none other than Namibia. And I found this story particularly interesting. It was quite a few people had sent me this story. A few people, you know, had asked me what I think about this story. And it was a story from a different media publication that went, I would say, pretty viral. Well, it garnered a lot of conversation. But in short, this story was about the introduction of a sports levy, right? It was a Swapo parliamentarian. Let me just make sure I have his name correct. That is Marius Shea proposed that the Ministry of Finance introduce sport levies to assist the Namibian Premier League. Now, before I continue, is that I will preface that I 100% agree with the idea, with the sentiment. And the reason I bring it up is not really to discuss if it's a good idea or not. It's quite unequivocally a good idea. I don't think anyone would argue that it is a good idea. For those that don't know what a sports levy is, a sports levy essentially would just be a tax on companies, and that tax would go towards sports. Or in this case, the parliamentarian is advocating for it to go to the Namibian Premier League, that portion I don't agree with. It's the sports levy shouldn't only go towards football. It should benefit all sports. Right? And his direct quote was, "I must applaud the finance and education ministries because on Friday the Premier League is kicking off and we are struggling to get corporate sponsors on board. As I speak today, the league still doesn't have a corporate sponsor." And then he continued to say, "As we have this national youth development fund, the Sports Act allows for a sports fund as well. I think it is high time that the private sector started contributing a sport levy." End of quote. And that's what he said in Parliament. And as I said, a sport levy would just be, for example, let's just say they will say that all companies that make over, let's say, $1 million in profit are required to contribute 1% of said profits towards Namibian sports. Just as an example. Right? That's what a sports levy is. That's how it would work. But now, I bring this up because I was confused. I was very confused by this statement, and I was confused by the reaction to this statement. Reason being, is this gentleman, as I said, Mr. Shea, Mario Shea is a Swapo parliamentarian, so he's a member of the Swapo party. And the reason I was confused is because in the Swapo Party Manifesto Implementation Plan, which if you want access to, download the Eagle FM application. It is among the documents that are in the digital interactive display. You'll see it. It'll tell you to click on there. It'll take you right to the full document. This is a big document that came out, if I'm not mistaken, last year after the Swapo Party was voted as the leading party for the next 5 years. So in this document, for those that don't know, it basically details the plans that the party has for the nation. They broke it down into various sectors. If you remember during the election campaign, they said that sport would be the government's number two priority. You know, this was ahead of things like health, ahead of things like education. So, you know, this was a major talking point during the election season. Say, wow, our government is now, you know, very focused on developing sport in the country. No problem there. My problem now comes is that in this document, when you go to the sports section, as I said, it's the number two priority. So in this document, in the sports section, one of the things is that the party said they will implement is a sports levy. And so the reason I'm confused is how and why is a member of the party putting this forward in parliament to say, oh, I think we should introduce a sport levy, when it's already in the document. So now I actually did try to reach out, but I couldn't get the contact information of the parliamentarian. But now, the reason I'm confused is because if it's already in the manifesto implementation plan, shouldn't the member of parliament be in parliament talking about what the sport levy should consist of, or how it will be implemented, or when it will be implemented? If you've been listening to the Eagle Sports Zone, we've spoken about this sports levy quite a lot. And we've tried to get various people to tell us, like, what is this levy going to consist of? When will it be implemented? How will it be implemented? We've tried, and behind the scenes, I've reached out to quite a few people that would, you know, be involved with something like this. Haven't gotten an answer. But now my confusion comes. Did the parliamentarian not read the implementation plan? Does he not know that what he proposed, like, it was almost like it was a new idea that he thought of? Did he not know that it was in there? And the other members that are of the party that were in parliament, at least to my knowledge, no one stood up to say this is something that we already discussed amongst ourselves that we want to implement. No, it would have been good to hear, instead of him saying we should introduce this, to hear this is how far we are in implementing this that we told you guys we're going to do a year ago. So a year from when this was introduced, the only update we have regarding the sport levy a year later is that a member of the party suggests that it's something we should introduce. Yeah, even still now, even as I'm sitting here, I'm just confused. So if anyone has more information on this, as to why this was said, or as maybe I misinterpreted what the gentleman said in parliament, but it kind of, it 1 + 1 is not equaling 2 in this sense. And also made me think about our quote of the show, which we usually always start with. I forgot to say it this time, but about how sport always reflects society, right? I think this was a perfect analogy, or perfect another example of how sport reflects society. Because in our society, in our Namibian society, we do a lot of talking. I won't lie, we do a lot of talking. There's always a lot of good ideas proposed, you know, but things never, especially in sport, at least historically, what's said isn't always how things play out. And I think this is another example of that, where it's just talking. Because, I'll end it there. It's just talking. But nonetheless, maybe this will speed up the process of the sport levy, and maybe it obviously won't be this year. Maybe next year we will have more insight on said levy that's meant to benefit the whole sporting industry, not just the Namibian Premier League. But we'll be back to continue our conversation on the other side of this, and that will wrap up. Actually, we have one more for the Pan-African segment, but we'll be back right after this.
Lipura nengeno wapumbwa eva tere urikoni maondo tuto ingida ashike kapeno nweku dite opoye ekukurile oshafafa na nongeshe faili mehola mo iho etike kovano ile koshiwala onongeshe fa yapumbwa kukaraya kovano okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna evito danjuka okukwetera oipindi konu konda doi nawa nuneudo otukwetera o special ange tashake ngejepa omarudi dayo loka opone ushendife nawa nokumona oijabo ili nawa ninge kwata fanona Monica ko Eagle FM onora etatu imwe bali heali nola natu heali bali no heali ile kongerewa nora etatu natu bali o etatu batatu o mafilane Eagle FM the eye
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person who does not have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura. And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to
be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before. It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past, and it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
You are now tuned in to the Eagle Sports Zone.
Welcome back to the Eagle Sports Zone. And our last piece of our new segment, the Pan-African segment. Our last piece on the Pan-African segment has to do with the Namibia Public-Private Forum that took place Wednesday and Thursday. In the middle of the week. That took place in the middle of this week. Right. So this was basically a meeting of the public and private sector, including a lot of people, a lot of industry leaders, both public and private were there, including our president. And after the forum, they released some of the presentations that took place there, and one of them was on the culture and creative industries, tourism and sport. That was one of the slideshows that took place. And this forum was, in large part facilitated by the NIPDB. And so for sport, I was curious to see what was going on there in sports, but before we get there, we have a caller on the line. Eagle FM, good evening.
Yes, good evening, my son. How are you?
Good, thank you. How are you doing this evening?
Fine, thank you. How have you been?
I'm good. What would you like to share with us on the Eagle Sports Zone today?
Because of the limited time.
Yeah.
On your side, on my side, and being considerable enough, considerate, there are so many things that I would love to say.
Yes.
But I'll just touch there and there.
Okay.
Maybe integrate them together.
Okay.
So we're also talking about the focus is on the integration of
African Continental Free Trade Area.
Free Trade Area.
Yeah.
That, because in that project.
Uh-huh.
As complex as it is, and the importance attached to it, require us also to look at it from the sport perspective.
Yeah.
And we seriously need to integrate all those sport codes.
Mm-hmm.
Even the ones that are so popular, or those ones that are not really promoted.
Mm-hmm.
Because there are sports which are really neglected on our side. So maybe because of lack of functional facilities, which we have spoken about already in terms of in relation to community development.
Yes.
Where we need to have sports in community, and many of the rural area schools, at least they are designated at areas where there are bushes, there are areas where one can utilize and develop to become a sport field. And of course, you also mentioned about the summit that just ended. So where the this thing, we have been talking about this thing, the summit that just ended. What is it, the name again?
The Public-Private Forum?
Yes.
Yeah.
Public-Private Sector Forum. That is very, very important because it cuts across all sectors.
Yeah.
And sports cut across, a cross-cutting issue, which each and every ministry or other sectors or organization or whoever, whether you are an individual, must embrace, because it's a cross-cutting issue. It's not only for Ministry of Youth and Sport. You see Ministry of Education there. We are talking about sport development.
Yeah.
From the ground. And the, most of these schools, the one is in the urban areas. Those ones are already privileged. I was able to watch this this sport today at something that is taking place at Aspena Secondary School.
Okay.
So, and you see already that there are facilities that are already existing. They might not be at a good standard, but it is something that you can, it's a foundation.
Yeah.
But when you look at the rural areas, where the majority of learners and pupils are also, you don't normally see those facilities. We need now the private sectors, the individual sectors, who are now collaborating, putting their effort and seriously put up some effective coordination measures to start looking at those rural areas issues there.
Yeah.
So it is an integration of those activities that you are talking about, sport, into those other areas, those important areas, because everyone has got a stake in there, isn't it? So why shouldn't we see the private sector, especially those who are sand mining, to be called to account and say, in this community here, where you are digging sand and go and build millions of dollars of facilities.
Yeah.
And you are leaving pit hole there, open pit hole. And you couldn't even contribute to the traditional authority and whatever, those who gave you the license. But the community themselves might not have given you that sanction.
Yes.
So we need to seriously work together and identify areas and those hanging fruits where we can seriously capitalize on and make sure that we do deal with this. This is an integration that I'm talking about. I'm just trying to build from your preamble kind of introduction.
Yeah.
You see, it's this trade area, you even went to Nigeria and went to everywhere. We need coach.
Yes.
We need facilities in community. And this one, we can do it ourselves, provided we are very eager to mobilize for the resources, financial, human capital, and all these things, and work together with the government. So this is what I have to say, and I'm very grateful that you are there popularizing the, our sports, because sports is it's an income-generating activity. Last time we were talking about exposing our people so early, so we can have some kind of, you know, they are boys in the community, there are girls in the community there, who of course have got those talents and potential that need our development. So thank you very much. God bless, man.
Thank you.
Good.
Thank you to the caller there for their contribution. If you'd like to chime in with your thoughts, the number in the studio is 0832-888-401. And that's 0832-888-401. Don't forget our trivia question of today is, call in and name me three club football teams outside of Southern Africa. So don't call in to say African Stars. Don't call in to say Orlando Pirates. Don't call in to say Johnny and Galaxy. I'm looking for teams outside of the Southern African area. You have probably thousands. of options to choose from, but I just want three. So call in and be today's winner of the trivia question. But before the caller came in, we were talking about the, as he also alluded to, the public-private forum that took place. And I want to touch on this to end our Pan-African segment. So in this forum, sport was one of the things that were discussed. Or it looks like briefly discussed. But as I said in the presentations that were made available to the public, one of the areas that the NIPDB identified in terms of sports constraints was one, Sports X. So what they said was there's an absence of an updated legal framework has caused fragmentation in the sports sector, unclear rules and unfair labor practices that we know of well, spoken about here as well. Second, they identified as a constraint is sports funding. This arises from the constraint of inadequate funding in the sports sector, which hampers access to qualifications, professional training, and the development of a skilled workforce. The sector also suffers from a lack of standardized training for coaches and administrators, which weakens its professional base and limits overall growth and competitiveness. Third, they identified the visas, which we'll touch on in a bit when we get to the conversation for the regarding the free trade area, excuse me, where they said that there's no clear or streamlined visa and work permit process for foreign sports professionals such as coaches and trainers, which limits skill transfer, collaboration, and the development of the Namibian sports sector. And then fourth, they identified capacity building. The sports sector is constrained by a lack of standardized training and professional development, weakening the sector's capacity and professionalism. And fifth, they identified infrastructure, which we all know of well and well. The state of existing infrastructure, they said, outdated and unevenly distributed sports infrastructure, particularly in schools and rural areas, limits participation and accessibility for differently abled persons and overall sports development. Right? So they identified those as a constraint. Then they went on to suggest or provide recommendations. So the first recommendation regarding the Sports Act, they said they recommended to update the Sports Act to curb fragmentation in the sector, review labor practices within the sports sector as it relates to fair competition. Then they went on to funding. They said increase funding for sports education and development, which will assist in the professionalization of the sector by having qualified facilitators, trainers, and coaches. Then regarding the visas, they said that the import of skills should be made easier to facilitate knowledge exchange, and professional development, streamline visa and work permit process for foreign sports professionals in order to promote sports development. Then for capacity building, they said integrate human capital with sports infrastructure upgrades and development. Deploy experienced local coaches, sports scientists, facility managers, and event operations as trainers and mentors for new staff hired during the construction and operational phases of new venues. And then lastly, for infrastructure, their recommendation was to upgrade existing sports infrastructure at schools, prioritize participation and accessibility for differently abled persons, and overall sports development. Now, the reason I brought this up is because I said this was a high level engagement. Like I said, the president was there. This was basically the private sector and the public sector coming together to, in short, basically tell the president, like this is what we can do in Namibia, and this is the landscape in Namibia, and so on, right? And for one, I'm glad that sword was even discussed at this engagement. I did not expect it to be there, but yes, they discussed it. But I bring it up to ask, like, all of what I just read for the past however many minutes that was regarding this. This is all stuff that we all already knew, stuff that's been discussed at length for years now, especially in the last, let's call it, 18 months, with the whole election campaign and everything, and after the election, all of this has been discussed already. There's nothing new that I just read there. And so in my view, because again, all of this is also in the manifesto implementation plan. They discuss how they're going to address all of this, which is why I brought up the story of the sports levy earlier. Like that, it's stuff we've already spoken about. I don't understand why we're spending a year, more than a year, talking about the same thing, right? It would have been great if the NIPDB said to the president, so in regard to the sports sector, this is what we've identified that can help the sports sector. We've identified that in the Hardab region, there's X amount of soccer players, there's X amount of soccer facilities, there's X amount of netball players, there's X amount of netball facilities. We've identified that in the Kavango East area, there's X amount of athletes, there's X amount of schools, there's X amount of rugby players, there's, you know, information like that would have been great to hear about in regards to what they have planned for the sports sector. Because for other sectors, you know, they had hard data, you know, for agriculture and all the other, you know, major important sectors. There was hard data to support some of the things that they were presenting and recommending. But for sports, it was kind of like a copy and paste of things that we've been speaking about for like 2, 3, even longer years. So in my view, you know, they kind of told the president what she already knows. But yeah, that was my take on that. And that concludes our new segment on the Eagle Sports Zone, that is the Pan-African segment.
Across Africa, sports unite us. From Lagos to Lusaka, from Cairo to Cape Town, we are one. This has been the Pan-African Sports segment, live on Eagle FM.
Eagle FM, the eye. The eye.
Welcome back to the Eagle Sports Zone. The score in the El Clasico is still 2-1 for Real Madrid. There is now about 10 minutes left in that fixture. Tottenham is now leading Everton 1-0. Mickey van der Ven scoring that in the 19th minute. First half in that fixture. As I said, if anything changes in those two fixtures, I will keep you up to date. But now we move on to our topic of the day. The main reason why we are here today, and that is to discuss how the African Continental Free Trade Area can sport be part of that conversation, and we'll discuss how sport can be part of that conversation. So for those that don't know, the African Continental Free Trade Area is a concept or initiative, or perhaps the correct word is an agreement, right, that was created by the African Union way back when in 2012. So in short, this was developed to boost trade within Africa, trade like goods and services within Africa, and then in turn promote socio-economic growth and development across the continent in line with Agenda 2063, right? And so trading under this agreement began officially on the 1st of January 2021. And so this is just supposed to create a single market essentially for goods and services. And I'll go through the six objectives of this, actually seven objectives of this agreement, which were signed by all African countries except except Eritrea. I'm not exactly sure why they are not part of it. But interestingly enough, Eritrea is also speaking under correction, but if I'm not mistaken, the only African country that didn't participate, no, not the only one, but one of a few African countries that didn't participate in the 2026 FIFA World Cup qualifiers. And the reason for this, why they pulled out, they initially started, but then they pulled out, was because they had fears that their players would seek political asylum when the team played abroad. So, you know, maybe there's other things happening in Eritrea that might be the reason as to why they're not part of this disagreement and a disagreement. This agreement, not disagreement. And so the objectives of this agreement that would create essentially a 1.4, a market of 1.4 billion consumers, right? The objectives of this are to progressively eliminate tariffs and non-tariff barriers to trade in goods and services, to progressively liberalize trade in services, to cooperate on investment, intellectual property rights, and competition policy, cooperate on all trade-related areas, also to cooperate on customs matters and the implementation of trade facilitation measures. It's also another objective is to establish a mechanism for the settlement of disputes concerning rights and obligations, and lastly, to establish and maintain an institutional framework for the implementation and administration of the AFCFTA, and that is the African Continental Free Trade Area, right? So that, just wanted to give a backstory of what it is that we are talking about and why and how sport can be incorporated into this, right? And so I should point out that in this agreement, in the, you know, the document that has the agreement in detail, the word sport is actually not even mentioned in there once, which I understand as to why it's not in there, because it's more meant for, you know, actual goods and services, like industrialization and all those things. But interestingly enough, sport is not mentioned, not even once, in the agreement document. But the first part that sport, or how sport can be involved in this, is the component of manufacturing or industrialization, as many people refer it to. Primarily in regards to the production of sporting goods, right? So sporting goods will consist of everything from apparel, everything from shoes to equipment, you know, soccer balls, soccer goalposts, rugby balls, netball balls, basketball hoops, anything you can think of that is an object and has to do with sport. That is what we mean when you say sporting goods. And this is a multi billion dollar industry globally in the world. But on the continent, we haven't fully, you know, tapped into the production of sporting goods. Of course, there are companies that produce sporting goods, but I don't think to the level that one would hope. Especially with all the reason why this whole thing even exists, with the barriers that exist between, you know, sending goods from one country to another. I found an interview of a gentleman who owns a Nigerian sports apparel company. And he said that for his business from Nigeria, it's easier to ship products from Lagos to London than it is to ship products from Lagos to Nairobi in Kenya. So that's a very big problem, right? And problems such as that is what this, the, the free trade area looks to solve, to solve issues such as this. It shouldn't be easier to send stuff to London than it is to a fellow African country. You know, and this also, yeah, I'll get onto that in just a moment. And if you guys remember when the Region 5 Youth Games were here, we had the CEO of the African Union Sports Council. He spoke about the plans that he had for, that is now Mr. Stanley Mutoya. He spoke about the plans that the AUSC had to industrialize sport in the region. And one of the ways that he has planned to do this is to set up a manufacturing facility, primarily for apparel, like clothing, in the region, which would be a fantastic initiative if fully realized. And it will obviously have almost instant economic impact, not only just with the jobs that would be created in one constructing this facility, but two, also the people that would work in that facility. And then also obviously the economic impact that will come from the sale of these goods, or from the shipment of these goods. You know, if it's, I'm not sure where it will be based, but let's say it's based in Botswana. You know, it will be shipping stuff from Botswana to Namibia, to Angola, to South Africa, to Malawi, to the Congo, who knows, even all the way north, all the way to Egypt. So that is one way how the free trade area can be incorporated into sports. That is the main way, actually, is through manufacturing. And then, hopefully, you know, if it all works out as it is intended to work out, you know, the end result would be for teams all over the continent, but now Region 5 in particular, which is just basically Southern Africa, Region 5 in particular, for all the teams to be, you know, wearing kits produced by an African country. For example, our very own Brave Warriors, our team plays in kits produced by a company from Dubai. Right. And the reason for that, I'm not entirely sure, but this company as well has produced several produces apparel for several Namibian club football teams as well. And so what the free trade area would do, if, like I said, if fully realized, would prevent, you know, teams like the Brave Warriors and other, and club, general club football teams from wearing apparel that's not made here. Which is something that the continent wants to do, not only in the sports industry, but in other sectors as well, particularly agriculture. You know, we want to consume things that we made, things that are made here, things that are made by us for us, essentially. And so that is what the free trade area would solve this issue. And like I said, the sports apparel, not just apparel, the sports manufacturing industry is a huge, huge, huge industry all over the world. And so there's no doubt that the continent would benefit from this economically and socially, of course, as well, if the free trade area functions the way it is supposed to function. I mean, we have existing apparel manufacturers in Namibia that could easily, well, let me not say easily, maybe there's reasons as to why we don't have a local kit manufacturer for someone like the Brave Warriors, or someone like, actually, I don't know what our rugby team plays in. Our cricket team as well. I don't know their apparel manufacturers, but you get the overall point. Manufacturing would be a huge benefit. Manufacturing of sporting goods would be a huge benefit for the continent overall. Then the second one, after this commercial break.
Anna, have you thought about what you're doing next year, my child? I'm not so sure yet, mommy. I want something that will help me build my future.
Then why not apply to NUST? The Namibia University of Science and Technology's applications are now open.
Really? Do they offer IT and engineering?
Yes, and so much more. They have business, health, science, and media. NUST has exactly what you need.
I'm applying today. NUST, here I come.
Applications for 2026 are now open. Visit www.nust.na to apply. Namibia University of Science and Technology, reinventing the future.
You are now tuned in to the Eagle Sports Zone.
Welcome back to the Eagle Sports Zone. Before the commercial break, as I was we were discussing the free trade area, primarily manufacturing, but now I want us to move on to another area that I think the free trade area would benefit, or how sports would work in conjunction with the free trade area, and that is the movement of people. So the free trade area, at least in theory, is supposed to make the movement of people between African countries a lot easier. You know, I'm sure most of you know, if you've tried to travel to a different African country, it can be quite challenging at times, especially cost-wise, all the different red tape that is involved, you know, all the, you know, visa things, work permit things. And so just like how the free trade area wants to make it easier for goods to travel between African countries, there's also provisions for it to make it easier for people to travel for African countries. You know, I don't have the exact number in front of me, but there's some African countries that you can only travel to after you've connected to either a Middle Eastern country or a European country. So imagine having to travel to make up a country, but you leave Africa first before you can get to that country. Right? These are some of the issues that we're experiencing on the continent. So the free trade area will look to eliminate that and to make travel between countries much, much easier. So, and how does this play out in the sporting context? I'll explain right after we hear from our favorite uncle, that is Mr. Jimmy Cliff. Don't forget to call in if you'd like to answer our trivia question of the day, and that is name 3 club African football teams outside of Southern Africa. 3 club football teams outside of Southern Africa. And after we hear from Mr. Jimmy Cliff, we will discuss why the movement of people is key to the development and growth of sport on the continent. We'll be back in a few moments.
Africa, war.
Eagle FM, good evening.
Yes, hi.
Yes, sir.
I thought we were out of topic uh-huh. when I was talking, but when you now went in there in those documents,
yeah,
I could understand that yes, we were actually in the same language.
Mm-hmm.
Because the notion of capital, you know, human capital, the financial capital, and how people can get in there, a lot of things that we have actually talked about.
Yeah.
Maybe the only one thing that perhaps we could also capitalize on is on those bilateral or those technical agreements.
Mm-hmm.
How do you say the bilateral, technical bilateral agreement or whatever you have? The one that you have actually ratified and you have become signatory. Those one that you can really say yes. In this area, is it now possible for every village sports field to have a Kangwena? Mm-hmm. Artificial one.
Yeah.
So meaning that there is a need for people who can come up, initiate and see how are they going to collaborate and work together with the government through this proper P that you are talking about.
Mm-hmm.
And to make sure that we put a Kangwena there, and we also plant some trees, nice ones, and we develop those things. Because if you are saying next time you may work together with Botswana and all this other country to host some of those games, don't you feel that it's good when one of the sports teams, I know the Ondangwa is cut up, so I'm talking about there in the periphery areas.
Mm-hmm.
So, is there no money for you guys to grab it and say, yes, I got this money, but I just want to make sure that the rural areas and some of this work with the community, just like the Okatana community members.
Mm-hmm.
So, I think we were in line. So, please see how we can mobilize more and see then the private sector. Because this is money, actually. Because you are secured, if you are working with the government or some of these authorized bodies, aren't you not secured?
Yeah.
In terms of, even if it, there's no way it can go wrong, because there are also big minds there.
Mm-hmm.
So thank you very much. Continue doing your good work.
Thank you for calling.
All the best.
Thank you to that caller contribution. If you'd like to chime in, the number in the studio is 0832-888-401. That's 0832-888-401. Our trivia question for today: name me three club football teams outside of Africa. Just three. You have so many options. I just want to hear three. But before the musical break from Mr. Jimmy Cliff, we were talking about how the movement of people, the movement of people, how that being easier plays into the sports industry. So if you follow African sports, you will, and African sporting competitions, you would have seen that sometimes when our teams are traveling within the continent, there's issues of just getting into the continent, which I find quite ridiculous, really. But let me tell you about some that have happened recently. Right? So in September of 2024, the Uganda men's sevens national team had 7 of their 15 member contingent denied visas by the South African High Commission when they were scheduled to participate in the Willem Strauss International Rugby Sevens tournament in South Africa. As a result, the team proceeded with only 8 players instead of the full 15, which obviously affected their squad strength and preparation for the tournament. Also in September 2024, the Nigerian Basketball Federation reported that the South African consulate in Abuja denied visas to the boys under 18 team for an Afro basketball tournament. Officials described the denial as quote unquote against the spirit of sportsmanship. Lack of adequate reasoning was reported. Then you also had, more recently, in May 2025, the Liberian Women's National Football Team, as well as the Sierra Leone Women's Team, National Football Women's Team. They were stranded in Abidjan, that's in Ivory Coast, for days due to issues with obtaining Mauritanian visas. This was despite what they having been told that they would be able to obtain visas on arrival. This was for a WAFU Zone A women's football tournament. So you had two national teams stranded in a country that they weren't supposed to be in, or that wasn't their destination. That was Ivory Coast. Their final destination was Mauritania for a tournament. They were stuck in Ivory Coast for days, and I couldn't find information on the conditions of, you know, when they were stuck. Were they stuck in the airport? Were they put in a hotel? We don't know that. But I imagine it wasn't a good situation. They were stuck there for days so they could get their visa to enter Mauritania. And they got them eventually, but the tournament had to be rescheduled and things like that. So it's just a big hassle, an unnecessary hassle, if you ask me.
Listen to Eagle FM in Ludritz at 91.2 FM. Listen to Eagle FM in Omthea at 90.5. Listen to Eagle FM in Mariental at 101.2. Listen to Eagle FM in Okahanja at 104.0.
The views and opinions expressed by our guests and callers are not those of Eagle FM in any of its staff.
Oshafafana nongeshefa ili mehola mo iho etike kovano ile koshuala. Ono ngeshefa ya pumbo kukaraya kovano. Okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna evi toda njuka. Okukwetira oipindi konu konda doi nawa. Nune uto otukwetira o special ange tashake ngeshefa omarudi dayo loka. Okwene ushendife nawa nukumona oijamo ili nawa. Ninge patafano na Monica ko Eagle FM. Onore tatu imwe bali heali nola natu heali bali no heali. Ile kumberewa nora hetatu natu bali o hetatu matatu o mafelane Eagle FM. The eye.
You are now tuned in to the Eagle Sports Zone.
Welcome back to the Eagle Sports Zone. Final score in El Clasico, Real Madrid 2, Barcelona 1. Real Madrid taking that one, and the table in La Liga now has Real Madrid 5 points clear ahead of their arch rivals, Barcelona on 27 points, Barcelona on 22. And so yes, overall, to conclude the discussion on how sport can be involved or can be incorporated in the continental free trade area is two main factors. That's manufacturing and the movement of people. This will go a long way, in my opinion, in developing our sporting industries, sectors. So it might not, there might not be direct correlation in terms of, you know, now that there's a free trade continental area and all of a sudden we'll have, you know, superstar national teams winning World Cups and things like that. That's not necessarily what the free trade area would do, but what it will do, or could do rather, is assist in the development of the sporting industry overall. And obviously, if the free trade area is fully realized, its potential is fully realized, and you know, hundreds and millions and billions of dollars are created through this initiative, those are profits that can now be reinvested into the various communities across the continent, right? And so maybe in, let's say, 20 years or so, we will have professional sports leagues all across the continent. We will be truly a sports hub, continent-wise. You know, our best talents won't feel the need to leave the continent to flourish, because everything that they need is on the continent, from facilities to apparel to various services in the sporting industry. It will be all right here in the biggest free trade area in the globe. And in turn, we'll become, or could become, a global sporting powerhouse. And I mean, there's countries in the continent that are doing, you know, remarkable things when it comes to sport. Obviously, like I said, South Africa, we know what South Africa is. They've figured out sports in a sense when it comes to a local sporting industry. And so the idea or the goal would be to have 54 South Africans on the continent when it comes in a sporting context, where every country, where whether it's from Benin, whether it's from Togo, whether it's from Chad, whether it's from Kenya, whether it's from Uganda, Malawi, every country, their sports leagues should be something similar to what we see. Their major sports leagues, at least, should be something similar to what we see from our southern neighbors, and developmentally as well, you know, should be a a factory of talent production on the continent that stays on the continent as well. Mirroring, again, like I always say, sport reflects society. A big problem we have on the continent is how we export our raw materials. In a sporting context, we do the same as well. We export our raw materials would be our young athletes. You know, they have to go over to Europe. They have to go to the USAs, some even to the Asias to become what they need to become in the sporting world. And so if the free trade area is fully realized, those good raw materials, those good raw talents that we hear about all the time when it comes to Africa, almost in any sporting field or category, rather, we always hear Africa has huge potential in football. We always hear Africa has huge potential in rugby. We hear Africa has huge potential basketball. Africa has huge potential athletics, huge potential. And in a lot of these sports, we have huge stars. Football obviously being the one where we have global superstars. But they had to go outside to become global superstars. So hopefully, the free trade area will allow them to become global superstars in the continent, staying in the continent. We will start to truly flourish as a continent in all sectors. And so we have around 20 minutes left in the program. No one has answered the trivia question yet, and that is, name me three clubs. Just three. African football clubs outside of Southern Africa. Just three. The number in the studio is 083-288-401. And tomorrow, the Villager e-paper will be published. So if you'd like to become a subscriber of the Villager, simply send a WhatsApp message. Very important that it's a WhatsApp message and that you save the following number as a contact in your mobile device, which is 081-200-4144. That's 081-200-4144 to become a subscriber of the Villager. If you'd like to receive it via email, send us your email address as well, and we will send it to you every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday for free. All you have to do is tell us that you want to become a subscriber to get access to the latest and greatest news and content in business and economics, policy developments, agriculture-related stories, sporting stories. I can tell you now there will be a sports story in it as well. We have a good sports column. So become a subscriber of the Villager, 081-200-4144. Send us a WhatsApp message and be sure to save the number as a contact to receive tomorrow's brand new edition of the Villager e-paper. We have a call on the line. Maybe they would like to answer the question. Do call back. Not sure what happened there. Do call back. 083-288-401. That's 083-288-401. And another thing that I didn't mention during the Continental Free Trade Area talk is about the contribution that sports can have to the GDP. So globally, it's reported that sports contributes around 3% of the global GDP, right? But on the continent, it's less than 1%. They say it's around 0.4%. So this free trade area will help boost that number 100% undoubtedly. As I said, primarily through that manufacturing feature that I spoke on earlier. In 2023, according to a publication known as the Global Sports Insights, in 2023, they said that sports generated $2.6 trillion American dollars in revenue. Globally, of course. And around 40% of that, interestingly enough, and it makes sense, 40% of that came from one country, that is the USA. So maybe in 20, let's say 2063, that number will probably be something closer to 10 trillion, if not more. I did see the line flashing. Do call back. Do call back. I missed your call. Call back if you'd like to answer the question. But as I was saying, in 2063, you know, when that number has more than likely tripled, quadrupled, however much more times it will have increased, the continent will be a significant contributor to that number as well. And the score in the Tottenham fixture is now 2-0. Tottenham lead. Mickey van der Ven scored again. Defender on a hat-trick would be unprecedented, I want to say, if that were to happen. But we'll go for a short musical break before we round off our conversation for today. We will be back. Eagle FM, good evening.
Good evening.
How are you doing this evening?
We're good.
What would you like to share with us today on the Eagle Sports Zone?
I would like to answer the trivia question.
You would like to answer the trivia question?
Yep.
Go ahead.
So, a club from India, I mean from Egypt, my bad, sorry.
Yes.
Would be Zamalek.
Okay.
And the other two I would take from Morocco, Wydad Casablanca and Raya Casablanca.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah. Are these teams that you knew or are these teams that you Googled? Okay, firstly, yes, you answered the question correct.
But thank you.
Are these teams that you Googled or teams that you were familiar with?
These are teams that I Googled, if I'm honest, and I'm surprised actually by the names.
Yeah, the North Africans have interesting team names, definitely.
Yeah, I was mostly situated in Southern African teams anyways.
Yeah. Well, thank you for calling. And hopefully now you have three new teams to support.
Yeah, I'll see.
All right. Thank you for calling.
All right, bye.
Yes, I was, when I posed the question, I was almost certain that someone would name an Egyptian team. I thought someone was going to call them with Al Ahly. But Zamalek, also equally as big. And Wydad, however it's pronounced from Morocco, huge team as well. But yes, this question is usually our questions are one and done kind of thing. But since there's so many options with this one, you still have time to chime in to become one of the winners of the trivia question of the week. And so while Bob Marley plays, you still have time to think about which teams you want to call in with. Give me three club teams outside of Southern Africa. Zamalek, Wydad, and what was the third one you said? I think you said Rayo. Those have been eliminated, but you have hundreds and hundreds of more that you can choose from. But we will be back after we hear from the man himself, Mr. Bob Marley.
Yes, my friend, we did a street again. Yes. Yes, me friend, me good friend, them say we free again. Oh, oh, so don't try to hold me up on this bridge now. I've got to reach Mount Zion.
Welcome back to the Eagle Sports Zone as we round up. Don't forget that you can join the Eagle Sports Zone WhatsApp group simply by sending a WhatsApp message to 081-200-4144. That's 081-200-4144. If you want to join the Eagle Sports Zone, simply say that you want to join the group, and they will send you a link to the group in that group. Keep you up to date with all the latest happenings in local and mostly local, truthfully speaking. Keep you up to date with most of the local sports. Have some interesting discussions, primarily regarding local sport, and that is what we will use. If you would like to pose a question, or you would like to offer an opinion, but you're too shy to call in, you are welcome to put it in there, and I will answer it for you live on the air. One of the questions was, why do I always play Jimmy Cliff on the Eagle Sports Zone? Usually Jimmy Cliff and Bob Marley. The simple question is, or the simple answer is, why not? You know, especially Jimmy Cliff, the Jimmy Cliff song that we always play, very suitable to what we discuss here on the Eagle Sports Zone, especially now that we have the Pan-African segment. They are the perfect artists to play. But actually, now that we have the Pan-African segment, I will look for an African replacement. Although we know our Jamaican brothers and sisters, what they stand for as well when it comes to the continent. But this has been another exciting or engaging edition of the Eagle Sports Zone. Thank you to those that called through. We'll be back same time, same place next week on the Eagle Sports Zone, 6 p.m. Sunday evening. We'll have another great show lined up for you. And if there's any breaking news during the week, stay tuned to your number one talk radio station for any breaking sporting news. And as always, thank you for listening. We will see you next week.
You are now tuned in to the Eagle Sports Zone.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
So not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person that doesn't have a capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in parliament, let me not take up my Katatura menace.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura. And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to
be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before. It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past.
Democracy thrives through participation, and we all want a thriving democracy, don't we? Let's all contribute to a thriving democracy by being active participants and voting in the upcoming regional council and local authority elections on 26 November 2025. Let's play our part. Get involved. Put your voice in the box.
Get ready to embrace a world of possibilities at the University of Namibia with a community of